The Almost Moon, written by Alice Sebold and read by Joan Allen.
1. When all is said and done, killing my mother came easily. Dementia, as it descends, has a way of revealing the core of the person affected by it. My mother's core was rotten, like the brackish water at the bottom of a weeks-old vase of flowers. She'd been beautiful when my father met her, and still capable of love when I became their late-in-life child, but by the time she gazed up at me that day, none of this mattered. If I hadn't picked up my ringing phone, Mrs. Castle, my mother's unlucky neighbor, would have continued down the list of emergency numbers posted on my mother's almond-colored fridge. But within the hour, I found myself rushing over to the house where I was born. It was a cool October morning. When I arrived, my mother was sitting upright in her wing chair, wrapped in a mohair shawl and mumbling to herself. Mrs. Castle said my mother hadn't recognized her that morning when she'd brought the paper to the door. "She tried to slam the door on me," Mrs. Castle said. "She screamed like I was scalding her. It was the most pitiful thing imaginable." My mother sat, a totemic presence, in the flocked red and white wing chair in which she'd spent the more than 2 decades since my father's death. She'd aged slowly in that chair, retiring first to read books and work her needlepoint, and then, when her eyes began to fail, to watch public television from dawn until she fell asleep in front of it after her evening meal. In the last year or two, she would sit in the chair and not even bother to turn on the television. Often she placed the twisted skeins of yarn that my older daughter, Emily, still sent each Christmas in the center of her lap. She petted them the way some old women might pet cats. I thanked Mrs. Castle and assured her that I would handle everything. "You know it's time," she said, turning toward me on the front stoop. "She's been in the house alone an awfully long while." "I know," I said, and shut the door. Mrs. Castle walked down the steps of my mother's front porch with 3 empty dishes of various sizes she had found in the kitchen and that she claimed to be hers. I didn't doubt it. My mother's neighbors were a godsend. When I was young, my mother had railed against the Greek Orthodox Church down the road, calling its parishioners, for no reason that made sense, "those stupid, holy, rolling Poles." But it was this congregation that had often called upon its ranks to make sure the cranky old woman who had lived forever in the run-down house got fed and clothed. If occasionally she got robbed, well, it was precarious to be a woman living alone. "People are living in my walls," she had said to me more than once. But it was only when I found a condom lying beside my childhood bed that I'd put 2 and 2 together. Manny, a boy who occasionally repaired things for my mother, was bringing girls into her upstairs rooms. I had talked to Mrs. Castle and hired a locksmith. It was not my fault my mother refused to move. "Mother," I said, calling the name only I, as her sole child, had the right to call her. She looked up at me and smiled. "Bitch," she said. The thing about dementia is that sometimes you feel like the afflicted person has a tripwire to the truth, as if they can see beneath the skin you hide in. "Mother, it's Helen," I said.
"I know who you are,"
she barked at me. Her hands clasped the curved ends of the armrests, and I could see how hard she pressed, her anger flaring up and out at me like involuntary claws. "That's good," I said. I stood there a moment longer until it felt like an established fact. She was my mother and I was her daughter. I thought we could go forward from this into our usual unpleasant encounter. I walked over to the windows and began to draw up the metal blinds by the increasingly threadbare cloth tape that bound them. Outside, the yard of my childhood was so overgrown it was difficult to make out the original shapes of the bushes and trees, those places I had played with other children until my mother's behavior began to garner a reputation outside our house.
"She steals," my mother said.
My back was to her. I was looking at a vine that had crawled into the huge fir tree in the corner of the yard and consumed the shed where my father had once done carpentry. He'd always been happiest inside that space. On my dark